Thank you, Tom. Yes, I have been a bit dismayed, even though it seems this happens every time we lose a powerful and controversial member of our empire. But my dismay really is not with the media coverage in the mainstream press. I mean, it would be pretty redundant for me to talk about that, so I'm going to look a little bit more at something that piqued my interest as I listened to some of the left press. While the mainstream media is throwing out language like honorable, honest, noble, dedicated, strong, charming, loyal, American hero, great statesman, this is all pretty standard fare, and it has been a very bipartisan whitewash, including our Senator Jeff Merkley, who got himself unsubscribed from my email this weekend, which was a long overdue act on my part. I kind of edged a little bit towards the not so entirely mainstream media and found a post from NPR. I usually can only listen to NPR news for a few minutes before I catch myself clawing at my cheeks. But in a sea of praise, the headline, "Examining George H.W. Bush's Legacy, Flaws and All," it caught my eye. You know, the words flaw, it was joined by shortcomings in describing what we should also remember when assessing the legacy of H.W., and it kind of reads like an afterthought. He was a real great guy, but he did have some flaws. But for me, flaws are for regular people or even characters in a novel, not for what one writer pens blue blood war criminals. If I had to attribute flaws to Bush Sr., it would not be pretty. The horrors of the Bush family legacy cannot be captured neatly as flaws or shortcomings. And the left press has been pretty busy detailing these atrocities via Counterpunch, Common Dreams, Dissent Magazine, HuffPost, sort of, The Intercept, and many others. Sadly, my true dismay over the reflections on H.W. and his legacy came from Bernie Sanders during a brief appearance on Democracy Now! Last week. Following an interview with Intercept columnist Mehdi Hasan on his uncompromising article titled "The Ignored Legacy of George H.W. Bush, War Crimes, Racism, and Obstruction of Justice," Amy Goodman asked Bernie to speak on the legacy of Bush Sr. I assumed that Bernie would try to avoid that most hallowed incivility and not speak too ill of the dead. My expectations were pretty low. Quote, "Look, he devoted his life in his way and did what he thought was best. He was vice president, he was CIA director, he was president of the United States. His politics obviously are not my politics, but what we can also say is that he was a very different type of Republican. He was a very conservative Republican, but I don't think anyone would suggest that he was a racist. I don't think you could suggest that the essence of his presidency was trying to do what Trump is doing, which is to divide the American people up. He was a conservative president." On the heels of Bernie's primary campaign issues with Black Lives Matter and questions surrounding his commitment to anti-racist politics, suggesting that George Bush Sr. was not a racist is a lead balloon, but it gets worse. On The Late Show, Stephen Colbert asked Sanders how quickly he would take back George Bush over Donald Trump. Bernie responds, quote, "First of all, let's not forget when we talk about H.W. Bush, he was a war hero. Of course I disagreed with him, but he was an honest man. He was a decent man. He loved his country very much. And you know, we wish that we could have a president who is honest back in the White House again." Now, I'm not sure that we've had an honest president in the White House ever. It doesn't really seem to flow with a job description. But I have no idea what possesses Bernie to cling to this line on Bush. Bernie, the icon for an emerging youthful left movement in the U.S. Bernie's been criticized of late for being soft on U.S. militarism as he leads an important congressional campaign to end the war in Yemen. Bernie's take on H.W. goes beyond civility. It's not just a politically balancing act from a politician with a lot to lose. It is an admission. In Bernie's world, George H.W. Bush can be a war hero, honest and decent, as he and the entire Bush family accumulated massive wealth as war profiteers. In Bernie's world, H.W. is not a racist, in spite of the racist election campaign featuring Willie Horton and his escalation of the war on drugs, a disaster for people of color communities. Trump is epically horrible. But Have we lost our minds? The decency of a G.H.W. Bush acts as a smoke and mirrors, and his legacy should not be sanitized for any reason. Missing W because Trump sucks was just a joke, really. In his 2013 article in The Guardian, Margaret Thatcher and the Misapplied Death Etiquette, Glenn Greenwald wrote, quote, "This demand for respectful silence in the wake of a public figure's death is not just misguided, but dangerous. That one should not speak ill of the dead is arguably appropriate when a private person dies, but it is wildly inappropriate for the death of a controversial public figure, particularly one who wielded significant influence and political power. When a political leader dies, it is irresponsible in the extreme to demand that only praise be permitted, but not criticisms. Of the dead, nothing but good, say nothing but good." That's a translation from the Latin, and it indicates that it is socially inappropriate to speak ill of the dead. But that is exactly what Bette Davis did in response to the death of a rival actress, Joan Crawford. Quote, "You should never say bad things about the dead, only good. Joan Crawford is dead. Good." This is one of those alleged facts that looms large as a measure of cruelty when it comes to honoring those whose lives have ended. Bette Davis did not like Joan Crawford. She spoke her truth. And I guess in that way, she shares a little something in common with another truth-sayer, historian Howard Zinn. In the foreword to the 2000 book Original Zinn, Conversations on History and Politics, author and activist Arundhati Roy describes Zinn as belonging to, quote, "that most unusual tradition of academics, intellectually rigorous, but unafraid to take sides when it is right and just to take sides." Howard Zinn and Bette Davis may not have shared the same vision for a just society, but they both did resist the lure of a polite civility with the power to erase a petty feud or bury atrocities committed by H.W. Bush over an expansive career as a, quote, "public servant," deeds that are not just past history, but reverberate on into our present. Zinn wrote prolifically on the Reagan-Bush administrations, but I'd rather share here his thoughts on the importance of history told from the perspective of those who never benefit, in fact, suffer greatly from the cruelty and indifference of the wealthy and powerful architects of American empire. Quote, "History is important. If you don't know history, it is as if you were born yesterday. And if you were born yesterday, anybody up there in a position of power can tell you anything, and you have no way of checking up on it." Wednesday, December 5th, was declared a national day of mourning for the deceased 41st president. I did what I always do. I reserve my condolences for the families who lost their loved ones in places like Panama, Iraq, Nicaragua. And of course, here in the U.S., I reserve my condolences for those who lost loved ones to HIV and AIDS while the Reagan-Bush administrations refused to take action. For working families struggling to make ends meet, families who lost loved ones in endless imperialist wars, and wars on drugs, and wars on crime, and wars on poverty. Everything is a war in this country, and we can't win because they are actually wars on people, marginalized people who are seen as expendable. This is the truth of the Bush family legacy. My praise? I reserve that for the radical democratic social justice movements, for all the time, energy, and dedication it takes to root this mountain down. Again, Zinn says it best, quote, "They're willing to let people think about mild reforms and little changes and incremental changes, but they don't want people to think that we could actually transform this country. I happily, without hesitation, take sides because it is the right and just thing to do." This has been Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour.